If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. When you get there, slip down to verse number 35 and verse number 36. For those of you who are using old-fashioned paper Bibles, you can put your ribbon, your thumb, or a pen there, and then find Proverbs 21, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Proverbs 21, verse number 5. We want to continue today talking about walking with God. I believe these verses for you and for me speak life and remind us that in our walk with Him, we need not grow weary, nor tired, nor throw in the towel. Amen. They remind us that when results seem to be a little bit slow in coming, whatever you do, don't stop walking with Him. If you keep walking with Him, His reward, His promises are sure and true. And everything that He said that He would do, He has the power to do it. And in the right time, He will deliver on what He has said. Amen. Your job and my job is simply to hold on, to keep pressing, to keep walking, and to not give up. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says these words in verse number 35. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Amen. Oh, that was so good. I just want to read it again. Amen. That was good. That was good. You know, the Word of God makes His own. You know, they talk about a good steak, make His own gravy. The Word of God makes His own gravy. Amen. Amen. When His Spirit is speaking, all that extra commentary just gets in the way. Amen. Here's what He said. He said, do not throw away. That's an active part. You know, when you have something that needs to be discarded, you got to take it, grab it, and throw it away so as to say, I no longer have need of this. He cautions. Don't throw away your confidence. Whatever you do. Confidence in who? He's talking about your confidence in God, right? He says, it will be richly rewarded. Instead of throwing it away, what you need to do is persevere. You know that word persevere means to press through. Right? When you're waiting on results, push. When you're tired and weary, don't give up. Endure. Persevere. It is the picture of there's something that's working against you that you've got to make sure that you don't let it win. It's in the fourth quarter when it's fourth and a few inches, right? And you're tired and everything is on the line and the defense has stopped you. But you got one more play. Your job is to persevere, to push through, to press, and not give up. He says, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Amen. Now, what you're standing on are the promises of God. Oh, that's important. That's important. You're not standing on your promises. You're not standing up on your perceived ideas and truth. You're standing on the promises of God. And when you stand on his promises, you can be certain that he stands behind you and he will deliver on his word. So make sure that you and I are standing on the promises of God. Last song that we just sang, Be Healed, right? It was talking about the promises of God. And Pastor Carol just began to call out names. She said, receive that and stand on the promises of God. What did God say? Jesus suffered on your behalf. By his stripes, you are healed. Can I help you for a minute? That is important that you and I don't make the mistake of looking at what has happened to someone else or how it has transpired in their lives. That was their story, not yours. Amen. That was in God's timing, not yours. Amen. And what you cannot do is allow what has happened in someone else's experience to determine how you're going to approach God. When God gives you a promise, stand on God's promise, not based upon what has happened in somebody else's life, but based upon who God is and what he has declared. Amen. He says, you stand on his promises, you receive what he has promised. Proverbs 21, verse number 5. And I like the rendering from the Living Bible. Proverbs 21, verse number 5. It says, steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. And so when I think about walking with God in the context of these two verses, what I want to encourage you and both me to do is to endure until the end. Amen? We've got to stay steady in the journey and endure until the end. We can't throw in the towel. We can't quit early, because if you quit early, quitting early results in poverty, results in you not receiving what God has promised nor what he has purposed. Don't abort the process, but stay with it. He says steady plodding brings prosperity, but hasty speculation brings poverty. In your walk with God, endure unto the end. Because walking with God has a benefit that you and I need. He has declared that, Jesus declared this. He says that he has returned back to heaven to prepare a place for you and for me. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you that. He said, but I'm going back to prepare a place for you. That at the appointed time, whatever your appointed time is, he says that when it's time for you to leave this place, that there will be a place that is ready for you. Just make sure that your reservation has been made. Amen. Make sure that your name is on the books. Don't walk up to the desk acting like you got a reservation and your name is not on the rolls. He says, your name got to be on the rolls, because we only allow you in by reservation. There is no such thing as walking up to the desk and looking for the vacancy sign to see if you can then book a room. No, you got to book it in advance. If you book it in advance, he says that, you know what? At the appointed time, I have a place that's ready for you. So you and I, our challenge, our task is to stay the course and finish to the end. Love that song. I believe I'll run on and see what the end is going to be. Amen. So walking with God promises that God will be with us not only here, but that we will also reach his prepared destination for us. That's walking with God. It is the idea of you and I walking in fellowship with God, in an intimate relationship with him, whereby we surrender ourselves to him and we long for his company and his presence. To walk with God is the accepting of his invitation, whereby he says, come to me. It is the invitation where he says, come to me, but come to me through the door of my son. Come to me by that way that you might have fellowship with me. It is your accepting that invitation from God to walk with him. That when you accept that invitation from God to walk with him, what you're saying is, God, I affirm that, God, your way is better than my way. God, I affirm that the method that you have provided is better for me than what I had provided, God, for myself. I acknowledge that without you, I am doomed. I acknowledge that without you, I am lost. I acknowledge that without you, I will perish with no one to help me. But because you have so loved me, because you gave your beloved son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for me, I'm willing to accept your invitation and agree with what you say about Jesus and who he is, and to walk in his revelation. To walk with God means that I agree with God about who Jesus is, and I am going to walk with him through the person of Jesus Christ. To walk with God means that I take the truths, the revelation of God's word, and I allow them to be applied in my life. I allow God's preview of who I am. I allow God's definition of who I am to take precedence over my own definition. I allow God's plan for my life to rule instead of my own plan. That means that anything in my life that does not agree with God's plan of who I am, I must, now that's something I can throw away. I must throw that away. Amen? To walk with him means that not only do I accept Jesus Christ, but I accept God's plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, you're familiar with it, where Jeremiah said, for I know, it was God, I know the plans that I have for you. And what was his plan? His plan was for them to prosper. You remember Proverbs 21:5? Steady plodding brings what? Prosperity. His plan was for them to prosper. And I always have to say this, don't just think money when you think about prospering. Amen? His plan is for you to prosper. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus could have said, I have come that you might have life and prosper. For to prosper is to have life abundantly. Amen? And so then to walk with God is to embrace God's plan for you. For God says that you have been created to do great works. God's plan was that you would be used by him to bring glory and honor to his name. God's plan was that your life would be a testimony to his power. God's plan was that your life would silence the enemy because you have surrendered yourself to a risen Savior. Then God can take that which was broken, weak, feeble, and empower it, infuse it with himself, and make you useful to his kingdom. To walk with God is to bring your broken weak, feeble self and lay all of it before him and say, now touch me, Lord. And trust him enough that what he does is going to be sufficient to bring glory and honor to him. Amen. That to walk with God is to allow yourself to be placed in the fire. Amen. I know I'm with you. I'm with you. Nobody wants to be placed in the fire. But unless you're placed in the fire, you won't be any good. Amen. To walk with him is to walk in the fire and allow God then to skim away the impurities so that he can see himself in you. Amen. You know, the goldsmith describes it this way. The question was asked of the goldsmith, how do you know when the gold is ready to be used? The goldsmith says, I just keep skimming away the impurities until I can look into the gold and see my reflection. And what I like about the goldsmith is the same thing I like about God. He knows just the right temperature to set the fire so that in the fire you won't be burned up, but instead you will be purified. Amen. And to walk with God is to allow him then to purify you so that you then become useful to him. Amen. To walk with God is to get on the potter's wheel, understanding that you are the clay and he is the potter. And it is to allow God to take you and shape you and mold you after his own will. It is not the idea of saying that's too hard, let me back up. See, walking with God says that I must endure and let God have his way. Amen? And if I'm willing to allow God to massage my life and to massage my character and to massage my personality and to massage my values and to massage my beliefs, then God can take and make me into one who is useful to him. The value of my life then is measured by what I allow God to do and how he chooses to use me. See, if you're looking for quick results, you're not going to be prone to walk with God. Because God's methodologies haven't changed over the years. Oh, we may have cell phones today, as opposed to when they used cans before. Or, you know, some of us had those corded phones. You remember those? The technology has changed. And we, in some way, think that God kind of changes his methodology with the technology. But the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That there are some firm principles that have been planted that God still operates by. And if you and I don't understand those principles and we're expecting something different from God, we're apt to not walk with him because we won't see the results in the time frame that we want to see them. What you need to know is that he's not a microwave God. He's a crock pot God. Amen. Amen. He's a crock pot God where he's like, you go ahead and get it seasoned, put it in the pot and let it slow cook. And if you're willing to wait for it to slow cook, you're going to have something savory that you can enjoy. Amen. See, the whole idea of walking, if you think about it, it is something that takes time to produce results. It has been confirmed over and over in the past few years that walking is one of the healthiest exercises that an individual can do. One reason is that walking does not bring the same level of impact upon the body that running does, for instance. Walking is something that anyone can do. Not everybody can run, but everybody can walk. However, walking does not produce those immediate results like some of the other things do. Instead, when you are walking, you've got to be patient enough to allow for that process to kick in and do what it is designed to do. A person who is willing to set aside 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day and walk for 30 to 60 minutes a day will indeed see results over a period of time. Oh, within the first week, you'll start to feel better because mentally you will be doing better. Mentally, you will feel the effects of getting out, exercising your body, enjoying the freshness of the air, and causing the blood and all the other things to circulate through your body. You're going to start to feel better mentally if you just get out and walk. But now, if you're walking for the sole purpose of trying to lose weight, can I just warn you that after the first week, you might be at the same place you were on day one. Amen? Now, mentally, you're going to be feeling better. You're going to be like, wow, I'm getting more energy, all of that kind of stuff. But if you're looking for the external results, you're going to be disappointed. And here's the key is don't allow your disappointments to stop you from engaging in the process and continuing to walk. For if you will endure, what you will discover is that over time, your walking and your patience is achieving for you something that you expected and hoped for, and that will last. Amen? Because in the process of walking, you're really developing a lifestyle. You're having a change of habits. And if you can continue in that lifestyle change, and that change of habits is going to produce for you results that will last. See, that's why dieting is a problem. When people, people use that word dieting, I'm going to go on a diet. You know what? You'll go on a diet, you'll experience some quick results, and all of a sudden you'll hit a plateau. And then sometimes we enter and we go on those diets where we can't maintain what that diet wants us to do. It's just so stringent, it's hard, and it's got all that kind of stuff that you got to do. And you be like, I can't do this forever. And if you stop doing it, you turn around and your body returns to the same condition or worse than it was before. But in the process of walking, you are developing a habit, a mindset, a lifestyle that allows you then to enjoy its benefits as stuff, you know, that extra stuff that we're trying to get rid of, falls away. And it stays away. And it has a way of you saying in your mind, not only am I going to do this physically, but I'm also going to change my eating practices and my eating style because I want to maintain this. And so it's a lifestyle change that brings about what you need. But remember, it's slow. It's slow. It's not an immediate, instant gratification is slow. You remember that when we first looked at the idea of walking with God, we went to Enoch. Remember Enoch? He was a man who walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. Then it said, after that, God took Enoch with him. We looked in Hebrews 11 and we discovered that Enoch's walk with God was a walk by faith. Enoch was walking with him by faith. And I want to submit again to you, if Enoch could walk with God for 300 years, surely you and I can walk with him for the 60, 70, 80, the 90 or 100 that we might have. Amen. If Enoch could walk with God by faith for 300 years, surely you and I can walk by faith because we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us that, you know what, we can continue the journey no matter how difficult it might be. Enoch stands as a good reminder to you and me that, oh, it's been done And it's possible, and the invitation comes for you to join among that number of those who have walked with God and who have found favor with him. Because the reward is this: Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Wait a minute. They didn't see him because God brought Enoch to himself. Amen. And it is the same thing that you and I desire, that at our appointed time, that God will bring us to himself. So all the benefits and the results may not be immediate, but you can trust God that when you walk with him, that he will deliver. And your job and my job becomes to stay the course with him. It is in Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. I want you to jot that down and remember that God spoke a word about walking with him. He said of Levi, he said, I made a covenant with Levi. He said, it is my desire that my covenant with Levi would continue. In verse 5, he says, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace. And then he says, I gave them to him. But wait a minute. He said, this called for reverence and he revered me. So to walk with God is to also revere God. Amen. To have reverence for him. And then he says, he also stood in awe of my name. So to walk with God is not to discount God, not to belittle God, but it's to have awe of God's great name. It is to honor him and to recognize who he is as you walk with him and allow him to be a covering and a shield over you. He said of Levi, true instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found on his lips. And I love this part. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. So to walk with God, you have this promise of peace. He said he walked with me in peace. And then he says that you're also going to have uprightness or holiness, that God is a God of holiness. To walk with God means that I'm also choosing to walk in holiness. How can two walk together unless they agree? God has no fellowship with sin. God has no fellowship with evil. And so if I am going to walk with God, that means that I can't have fellowship with sin. I can't have fellowship with evil because I'm walking with him. I must be holy as he is also holy. That's to walk with God. And if you will walk with God and endure and stay the course, he says that he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding, that he will be with you. We talked about in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. You remember that? Well, God gave to them a word that said what was required of them. Let me offer to you, because I didn't before, let me offer to you the preceding verses prior to Micah 8. In chapter 6, verse 6, it says this. The question is asked, what shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? The question is, can I bring to God a sacrifice that is adequate enough to please him? Is there any amount of money that I can bring him? Is there any amount of burnt offerings that I can bring him that he would be pleased with? Is that what God is looking for? Is the burnt offerings, the sacrifices? He's looking for a big offering? Michael says, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things he gave him. act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Amen. It seems like it is a requirement then to walk with God, but it's the attitude then in which you walk with him. Walk humbly with your God. Understand who you are before your God. Do not allow arrogance to enter into your space, into your thinking, into your attitude, but walk humbly before your God. And he says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. It is a behavior that you yourself must exercise. Stop wasting time asking God to humble you. That's a waste of time. He says, if you have not humbled yourself through what I'm doing right now, that anything else I put on you might just make you mad. But it is the idea that you come with an attitude to humble yourself before God, to acknowledge who he is, and as you see him, you then begin to see yourself in a proper light, created in his image. For his purposes, to bring glory and honor to him, to surrender all that you are to him, to acknowledge that without him you would be nothing, and to know that if you were to ever leave him, that it would result in catastrophe for your life, to know that if God were not on your side, you wouldn't be able to make it. To know that if God is not involved in the building process, your labor is in vain. To know that if God does not show up where you are and do what he needs to do in your situation, that all of your efforts mean absolutely nothing. It is to humbly walk before him that even when he elevates you, you acknowledge that it is him who is doing the elevating. That when you have to sink low, you acknowledge that it is him who is bringing you low. That in every stage of life, you acknowledge that God is sovereign and I am not. It is the beautiful picture that is illustrated by John the Baptist, or the baptizer in his life, who came to being through old parents as a blessing from God. And then he lost himself in the wilderness as God prepared him. And at the appointed time, he came out of the wilderness proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. And then having a church with zero people standing in the wilderness proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand, it grew overnight. Amen. He had so many folks coming to his worship service that he couldn't build a building. He just had to do it by the banks of the river. And then after he had finished doing what Christ called him to do, what God called him to do, he gracefully bowed out. That's a beautiful picture of humility. He didn't get mad when folks start leaving him to follow the Lamb of God. He didn't get mad when they stopped talking about, look at what John is doing, and they start looking at what Jesus was doing. He simply said, I must decrease so that he can increase. That's a beautiful picture of humility, and it comes about when you and I are walking with God, walking humbly with God, that we understand that our lives are used as nothing more than platforms to exalt the most beautiful, majestic name of Jesus Christ. And we get to the place of where we stop looking for the praise of people. We stop looking for the praises of men, and we're just wanting to know, is Jesus being exalted? It is where we don't do our good deeds for the sake of receiving praise from others. We do our good deeds so that men can see the good works that we do and glorify our Father in heaven. That if they never choose to acknowledge you, but they acknowledge God, your work is done. The only way they acknowledge God is that you're not silent about who you are and about who he is. Hey, man, when you show up, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God. I didn't just come to you because I thought it was a great idea. I came to you because God dropped you in my spirit. And I'm not afraid to tell you that God put you on my mind. And when God put you on my mind, he also gave me some instructions. He told me to bring this here to you right here because you have a need that I know nothing about. But because he sees you and he knows you, he knows about your need. God sent me to you. I didn't come because I'm all of that. Because if it was left up to me, I'd still be at home watching a football game. But because he moved and he prompted me to get off of my comfortable spot, I had to go and obey him. And when I came and did what he told me to do, it wasn't about look at what God allowed me to do. Look at what God let me do. No, it's all about God. God sent me because he loves you. He cares about you and he sees you and he wants you to know that you are not alone. And he wants you to know that whatever you're going through, you can make it. And he wants you to know that, no, you need to pick up your head. Don't you cry. He's with you and that he's going to hold you up. And it's all about God and less about me. Wouldn't it be nice if sometimes they didn't even know your name? I don't need to leave a card so you can get in touch with me. I will, but I'm just saying I don't need to. It's a beautiful story about a lady who rendered a service to another young lady in need. She never told the young lady her name, but yet continued to follow up with the young lady, just checking on her and seeing how she was doing. The young lady had saved this woman's number in her phone. And when she saved that woman's number in her phone, because she didn't have a name, this is how she saved it. The lady that was kind. Isn't that deep? She didn't know her name, but she knew that she was the lady that was kind. She knew that she was the lady that came in the name of Jesus Christ and that she was kind. The lady that was kind just simply kept checking up on the young lady and following up with her and celebrating her. And finally, one day when the young lady had achieved a particular goal that she was trying to get to, she finally worked up enough nerve and courage to say, "What is your name? Because I don't know your name. We've been communicating. I've been receiving your encouragement, but I don't know your name. All I know is that you are the woman that is kind." When the lady tells this story, one of her favorite phrases is always, "The kindness of God leads to repentance." Amen. She's simply walking humbly with God and allowing him to use her and her gifts for the building of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if you and I can stay the course, if we can walk the distance, God has a way of delivering like no one else. And there is great benefit that comes when we walk with him. There's great benefit that comes when we walk with God. Blessed are those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Amen. Why? Because you're going to find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Wait a minute. That's you walking with God. When you're walking with God, what you're able to find rest in the shelter of the Almighty. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are what? Saved. Amen. That's you walking with God. Because if you're not walking with him, you can't get to the tower. Amen. You got to be walking with him to be able to get to the tower. Walking with God means that you and I have to endure some difficulties. Walking with God means that you and I have to endure some differences. Walking with God means that you and I have to recognize that in this world we will have trouble. He says, but take heart, he has overcome the world. Walking with God means that you and I have got to embrace the kingdom values and forsake the things of this world. And you need to know that when you are walking with him, you are forsaking the things of this world, embracing his kingdom values, even though you will be persecuted. You will never be left alone. He says that you and I have to endure, because if you quit, if you throw in the towel, you will not receive the full benefit. You won't receive the full benefit. I want to encourage you, if you haven't read little book called Hinds Feet on High Places. It's a beautiful allegory about walking with God. It tells the story of a character by the name of Much Afraid. Much Afraid gets that name because she was full of fear, and she was much afraid. She was afraid of everything, and particularly her relatives called the Fearings. But Much Afraid had a desire to walk with the great shepherd, to be in his company and to experience his presence and to be what he had created her to be. There was another problem with Much Afraid, was that she was deformed, she was lame, and she wasn't the most attractive among the bunch. You got all these things that are working against Much Afraid in this allegory, but in her heart's desire is to walk with the shepherd. She makes her heart's desire known to the shepherd, and because he is the kind of one who says, bring me your broken, bring me all of it, he welcomes Much Afraid regardless of what her situation or condition is. He welcomes her and says that you can go with me to the high places. Says to her, but when I'm ready to leave, you need to listen for my song, because you, again, it is you that must come with me. Because when God extends an invitation, he's not forcing you to come. He's saying, come, follow me, come, go with me. Well, Much Afraid finally hears the song, and she is able to go with him and start this journey. But can I just tell you that in her mind, the journey is one way. Being with the shepherd is one way. Her experience is something totally different. In her mind, it's going to be wonderful to go with the shepherd to the high places, because she can envision in her mind getting to the high places. But the process is going to be brutal. Fortunately for Much Afraid, she doesn't know that the process is going to be brutal. So the shepherd who is leading her, he gives her some companions to walk with her, because he knows if she does not have these companions to walk with her, she is subject to turn back and run away at the first moment's fright. These companions have unlikely names. They're called Suffering and Sorrow. If you were introduced to those companions, Suffering and Sorrow, wouldn't you say, you got anybody else that can go with me? But because the shepherd has said to her, these are companions that I chose for you, Much Afraid was willing then to accept them and to receive them. Along the journey, Much Afraid has many experiences whereby she picks up reminders, pebbles, stones that she puts in a bag that she is building as a remembrance of her journey. For each one of her journeys, each storm that she makes it to, each valley that she walks in, each thing that she has to overcome, it represents in that the Savior or the shepherd delivering her and bringing her through. It represents a course that she didn't think she was going to be able to make it through, but the shepherd shows up, he delivers, And again, when she is delivered, she picks up a reminder to say, I don't want to forget this. Oh, I'm telling you, if you haven't read this book, it's a beautiful book to go and read. And if you read it, I want to encourage you to go read it again. Because in it, we are reminded that, you know what? You and I need to also take some reminders along the way when God delivers us through dangerous toils. That we need to be reminded that when we thought we wasn't going to make it, he showed up and he delivered. And he's the promise keeper. He's the one who has a plan. He oversees it. He watches over it. Because you know, stuff will come and you're tempted to quit. Amen. You're tempted to throw in the towel. You're like, this is not working out the way I thought it would work out. Let me find something else. Brothers and sisters, that's a bad decision. I just want to read, if you don't mind, as we close, the last portion of this little allegory. It's not the last portion, but it's a part of it. Where she has reached this place and her and her companions are wondering whether or not they're going to make it to their destination. It says this, and bear with me. It says, she did not lie down again, but stood at the door of the hut, waiting for daybreak. It seemed to her that the voice of the fall now filled the whole night and was thundering through her trembling heart, reverberating and shouting through every part and repeating again and again, take now the promise that I gave you, the natural human love in your heart, and offer them for a burnt offering. She's at this place. She's determined. God has given her some instructions. And she's trying to say, the shepherd has given her some instructions. And she's trying to say, in the midst of everything that's going on around her, do I continue? With the first glimmer of dawn, she bent over her sleeping companions and said, we must start at once. I have received a commandment to go to the place where the great fall pours itself over the precipice. So the fall is actually a waterfall. And she's talking about that's where the shepherd told her to go. They rose immediately, and after hurriedly eating a meal to strengthen themselves, they started on their way. The path led straight up the mountainside toward the thunderous voice of the fall. Though everything was still shrouded in mist and cloud, and the fall itself remained invisible. As the hours passed, they continued to climb, though the path was now steeper than ever before. In the distance, thunder began to roll and flashes of lightning rent the veil of mist. And suddenly, higher up on the path, they heard the sound of running feet slipping and scraping on the rocks and stones. They stopped and pressed themselves closely to one side of the narrow path to allow the runners to pass. And then out of the ghostly mist appeared first fear, then bitterness, followed by resentment, pride, and self-pity. Amazing, the higher they're getting, them things can't stick around, ain't it? They were running as though for their lives. And as they reached the three women, they shouted, back! Turn back at once. The avalanches are falling ahead, and the whole mountainside is shaking as though it will fall too. Run for your lives. Without waiting for an answer, they clattered roughly past and fled down the mountainside. What are we to do? Asked suffering and sorrow, apparently at a loss. For the very first time, shall we turn back to the hut and wait until the avalanches and storms are over? No, said Much Afraid in a low voice, steady voice, speaking for the first time since she had called them to rise and follow her. No, we must not turn back. I have received a commandment to go up to the place where the great fall pours over the rock. No, we shall not turn back. Brothers and sisters, I just want to close with these words and remind you that no matter what the struggle, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the challenge, no matter how long it's taken for God to deliver on his promise, your answer to turning back is always no. We can't turn back. I must endure until the end. For if I quit, I will not receive the promised reward. Aren't you tired? No, I can't turn back. I've got to keep pressing, because if I turn back, I cannot receive the promised reward. But everybody else is stopping that has nothing to do with me. No, I will not quit. I will yet press forward. I will yet pursue him who has for me a reward that he has promised to give me. Your response must be a resounding no, I will not quit. When the enemy starts to whisper in your ear, no, I won't give up. When the enemy starts to say, aren't you tired? I'm not tired yet. I've been running with Jesus for a long time, and I'm not tired yet. It must be no. I'm going to run and see what the end will be. If none go with me, I still will follow. Because it is only when you have reached the destination that you receive his promised reward. I encourage you, keep walking with God, endure until the end, and never, 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 ever turn back. Amen. Amen.